What's up, Fool Podcast? We're back for Game 7.
Yeah, man.
Rodrigo, what's up, man?
Chilling, watching it from the TV, all excited. I seen you on TV, dog.
We did.
Yeah, dude, right behind the dugout, dog.
Fool, I was in Fort Leonard Wood.
Right when you're doing the shows?
Yeah, Missouri, because I'm doing those 8 Army bases.
Uh-huh.
I'm doing like 8 Army bases, and we might as well just get to the 8 bases.
Get to the bases.
Yeah, still on an Army base tour. This weekend, November 4th, I'll be at Fort Rucker, Alabama, with Seton Smith and Finesse Mitchell from SNL. Seton Smith, by the way, he was a token brother in that show, Mulaney. November 10th, Fort Huachuca, Arizona. The week after that, November 10th, I'll be in Fort Huachuca, Arizona. Then I'm ending the tour with 4 shows in a row. November 15th at Aberdeen Proving Ground, Maryland. November 16th, Fort Belvoir, Virginia. November 17th, Fort Hamilton, New York. November 18th, Fort Drum. That's by Syracuse. By the way, if you have an active military card, you can go to these shows. Or if you're an active employee of the U.S. Army, like you work on a base, maybe you work at another base or your reserve, you're allowed to go to these shows. Or if anybody wants to go to a show, man, start hooking up with Army officers right now and have them take you to these shows. They're awesome shows. There's 3 of us. We're in and out. We're not even selling no merch, bro.
Just in there. How is it, though? You guys been having fun?
Man. First of all, we went to Fort Leonard Wood. We got to the wrong spot.
What happened, dude?
And man, this place is huge, bro. Like, the beginning of the entrance, they have a gate. You got to come in. You need credentials. There's a guy with an M16 ready to blast you. You try to rush in there, bro.
Little MP, huh?
And you show them your ID, and you go in there, and they have a hotel room. It's like a whole city. A whole city, like hotel rooms.
The commissary,
Pizza Hut. Everything. And then it's like 45 minutes long, this town. Uh-huh. You could drive to the end of town. It's just 45 minutes. There's a gate.
Another one just to get out?
No, you can't get out through there, but just watching the gate.
Oh, okay.
On patrol.
Surrounded.
Who?
What's up?
When I got to Fort Leonard Wood, it was the first show. There was a bunch of Air Force people there, right? They were all hanging out, doing whatever they were doing. And then another one showed up. And then the leader that was in charge of the show, she told me, were there some people in there? She said, yeah. What are they doing in there? Protecting me, I guess, I told her.
What's your security?
They're just like officers. Like, you know, like camouflage. Uh-huh. We're going to ask them what are they doing in there.
Hell no.
I'm a guess. They're in the green room, so what? Take whatever you want. I go back, and then the lady goes, oh, it's fine. They're getting married. What? They're getting married. One of them was a captain, and he was marrying this couple. A hallway, bro.
Really?
Like, just fast, legal wedding right there.
Give me a Mexican pizza to go.
We got to start talking about these people in the office. Now, people are getting married that ridiculous, bro.
Just eloped, right?
Eloped. Like, just they had a witness and a bunch of people. They got married right there. I said, we are going after this. I said, barracks.
Well, that way they can be with their, you know, with their boo, right?
I just thought it was weird that they just got married like that. Like,
because those barracks get all alone. You need your rib.
Yeah, sure. They were both in the Air Force. But they didn't even come to the comedy show. They were just going to get married in a green room.
And that was it?
That was it.
Should have celebrated, dog, with some laughs.
Yeah, man. It was far, man. These places were like...
Those are like bases I never even heard of, dude.
Fort Leonard Wood was huge, bro. And I saw pizza. They delivered a Pizza Hut to the hotel room. And then when I saw him, I made a joke about him because I know that. I go, is everybody here from the military? Or there's people who are civilians too? And they say, yeah, they're civilians. Oh, good, man, because the guy who delivered the pizza right now, man, he looked like me. Then I opened up with, it's hard to find drugs in here, and everybody laughed. There's a lot of fools up there, bro. Like, I met this one fool who looked like Stephen Fry. What's up, everybody? He met at the gate. Already bullshitting, dog. I'm the mayor of this whole fort. Before we come inside, he's laying in He's the vice mayor, bro. He's the city manager. So that's like in a city, right? Like once the mayor goes down, the city manager takes over, right?
Yeah, dude. All you got trickles down, dude.
Yeah, man. That's when we were in Fort Knox. He stayed with the mayor. We went to Fort Knox.
How's that?
I saw where the money is kept, the gold.
Where's it at, dude?
Dude, there's this bunker with a. It's all camel. It's all like with barbed wire, hardcore concrete building.
Fortified.
And then the bottom. Then they said if you've seen the money, they didn't show you the money. If you've seen the gold, they didn't show you the gold. They show you a fake one.
So it's like
They know where they're gonna take a civilian or anybody 300 feet underground. Supposedly, 300 feet under the ground.
Yeah, you probably need a mad security.
I ain't going 300 feet down to see shit, dog.
Because, dude, don't they do testing down there and stuff like that, too, dude?
All crazy. So all these army bases are all full training, bro, to be like.
Go to battle.
Yeah, man. I met a guy named Rodrigo, whatever his name was. He was like Theo Chomes, bro, from San Antonio. Talking like that.
Shut up, bro.
And I asked him, what did you do, bro? Because I'm making hot dogs right now, bro.
What'd you do in the war? I was a cook.
53, 55 years old making hot dogs, bro. In an army base with a skinny ass fool, bro. He looked like a firecracker.
Feed him, dog.
He goes, oh man, I was a photographer during the war for the army. Goes, what? Yeah, I shot photography during battle, man, for the first Gulf War, Grenada, Panama. He started naming all the places.
Damn.
So they were shooting, you were shooting your camera? Yeah.
Been around, huh?
He goes, did you shoot back with my camera?
Somebody had a document.
That's what he did. He did, bro. It's funny, man. Like, some people are like are fighting, you know, these army guys are fighting, you know, whatever battle they're fighting. There's also a guy they're fighting for the history.
Oh, yeah, dude. You gotta
document it. Be documented.
Hell yeah, dude.
Under a war, legal war, are you allowed to shoot photographers and paramedics?
No, I don't think so. I think it's part of like Geneva Convention stuff, but I don't know exactly.
But in guerrilla warfare, vale madre, huh?
Dude, shoot anybody that moves.
Vietnam, who cares, huh?
Yeah, man.
Are you allowed to shoot the guy with a walkie-talkie?
Dude, we can't communicate, dude. Let him have it, dude. Take it, dude. Figure out where he's at, dog.
That's crazy, man. So, man, all these fools, man. There was a fool there with a What's Up Fool podcast sweater.
Are you serious?
Yes. Shout out to him, bro. I forgot your name already. But, yeah, man.
That's awesome, dude.
He was in Fort Knox or Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. With a What's Up Fool podcast hoodie, though.
Hell yeah, that's
representing.
Tight, dude. Madly representing, dude. What up, dude?
Like a hotel, bro. Cabs are in there.
Oh, yeah?
You could be a civilian working there, but you need an extra pass.
So you get in there and all that stuff, yeah. And get out?
When we went to Fort Knox, we had an escort, but he was not a part of the watching. Who? It was some Latino guy, right? His mom is Mexican. And, I pulled up bragging about this $86,000 home he bought.
Damn. Out there in Missouri?
With 8 acres. 86,000. Yeah, you keep that shit, dog.
Is that what you call balling over there, huh?
Yeah, man. Like, I guess it's a lot of work over there if you could get up credentials.
To get up in the base and work? It's funny that you mentioned Stephen Fry. Remember when the war was going on in Afghanistan? He's all, the dog. You know, they pay $56,000 a year just to scoop food in the war. This is like a line cook.
So that photographer, that's what he does, man. He works full-time with a photographer somewhere in town. Uh-huh. He has a home there in Texas. And he works part-time job there in the base because he's still military.
So two jobs?
Two jobs. Photographer and he works hot dogs.
Damn,
all
dude.
Day, all night.
So I'm talking about two checks.
He ain't getting paid no minimum wage, tell you that much.
Hell yeah, dude. Because they have levels, right?
Yeah, they have a bowling alley in Fort Knox, a bowling alley, a movie theater, a hotel, Pizza Hut, some restaurants, clothing stores, bank. It's a town, bro.
Everything.
It's a town.
Yeah, but that town's under lock and key, huh?
Oh, yeah, bro. It's curfew.
Parties?
Bro, I don't know if there's a party, but I wasn't invited, bro. I was chilling with Finesse Mitchell, bro.
What's up,
SNL?
That? You ever run into that fool in the airport one time with Skills?
That's right.
Yeah, dude.
I totally forgot about that, man. Skills Hudson. Don't take my hat off.
Yeah, man.
So, what? Yeah, bro. So, I'm in Fort Leonard Wood, bro, chilling, you know, sober.
Uh-huh.
I had nothing. And then I get a email, on Instagram. Right now, Mr. Lopez, George Lopez, eh? What are you doing, eh? You're working all weekend, eh? Yeah, so George Lopez, are you working all weekend? Said, yeah, man, I have some military base right here supporting the troops. And then he goes, I have an extra ticket to the World Series, bro, game 5.
Hell yeah.
All I have to do is get over there, bro. Get a hotel.
Take the Blackhawk, dog.
And I was, bro. I was gonna take Air Force One, but President Trump was using it at the time, bro.
Take a little F-15, dog.
Yeah, man. So I say, yeah. So we had the manager, Lisa Esparza, rearrange everything, bro. Is that what she was doing? Accounting. Get behind, and we got the. I got it, bro. And I didn't even know we were gonna sit, bro. When I get, and I'm like, bro, dude. I was tired, dog. We did the What's Up Fool podcast.
Yeah, dude, at the festival, All Things Comedy Festival. Kate Quigley.
It was tough. How late did you stay after the show? You killed, by the way, bro.
Thank you, man.
I saw your set, dog. I know you were nervous.
I was nervous as hell, dog.
You were nervous all day, dog.
Hell yeah.
We wondered what's going on, bro. Me and Lisa, the young lady, broke up.
Nah, dog.
He goes, I thought I did something bad already, bro. Nah, what happened? Did I hit him?
Dude, you don't
did I hold back on money?
Nah, dude, you don't want to be. It's like everybody's there. You know, you're over there with heavy hitters, dog.
But you were by himself, bro. Like, he was a bust to hit or no hitter.
But you know what happened?
You killed, dog.
Thank you, dog.
You know you did, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's just you want
to
be humble.
Everybody came up to you afterward, right?
Yeah, you want to be humble. You know, bust out your little jokes because sometimes you think, you know, you're not relevant in the comedy world.
I know. You think these jokes only are cheesy only in this crowd?
Yeah, dude.
Everybody
can
judge my writing, but they were good.
Only thing that sucked about that, nothing sucked about the set, but when I walked off, I slammed my finger got slammed in the door, dog.
Oh, my God.
Dude. But I held that shit in like a soldier. But I stayed until about 2 a.m., and then I went home. I went home back to the hotel and then took off.
Yeah, were you happy?
Yeah, it was cool,
dog. It was cool, right?
Yeah, people all coming up taking photos and shit. It was tight, dog.
It was cool to hold that big dog's house.
Hell yeah, dude. But you know what was cool, too, dog? Brent Weinbach, dog. Let's talk about that little fool, dog.
He went up?
Yeah, he went up on that show. We're talking that fool, Ari. Who else? Fultron.
Fultron's cool, huh?
Yeah, cool as hell, dog.
I love that he keeps it real with that suit.
Oh, yeah. Hey, dog. You know who was funny? Lisa was there, though, dude. Jason Theobald, dog. He was doing good-ass impressions of D. Del Rey, dog. And that other fool, Tony Hinchcliffe, dog. He was killing us in the back, dog. This is saying shit they would say.
Fool. Tony Hinchcliffe?
He was saying shit he would say, but it was at Jason Theobald, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, dude. It was killing us, dog. Killing us, dude. Funny ass shit, dog.
Look, Stanhope showed up, too, with Bingo.
Yeah, Bingo. Oh, yeah. You said what's up to him. They came in, dude. That was tight, dude. I totally forgot about that one, dude.
That was cool, man. What's the name? We're all happy, bro.
Who, fool? Ah, Richie.
Richie. Brian Richie, bro. Yeah. Also, fucking Stephen Brody was there, bro, the next day.
Oh, yeah. Our we missed right him, here. Dude.
You got it.
We're in an umpire hat.
Stephen. And he is here right now. Stephen Brody Stevens. Felipe Esparza. You got it.
It's time for Rodrigo. Give us some. We just got it. It's time for Brody Stevens.
It's time for right Dodger here, Baseball.
Originally from New Mexico, according to his Wikipedia.
That's where my grandmother was born, May 2nd, 1909, pioneering the Hebrews of the Southwest. You got it. Yeah, I was at the festival also. Thanks for having me here. Thanks for, that was cool, wasn't it? Out in Phoenix. They did a good job.
I was bitching, dude.
Hell yeah, man.
They did a good job. It was organized. You know, I look at a festival, they had the shuttle buses on time, and they did. You know, some of these kids, they put together these festivals. Nobody knows what's going on. You know, All Things Comedy, professional. They get it, organized. It was close. I enjoyed my time there.
Yeah, man. Did you stay there till Sunday?
I stayed until Monday. I extend it. I'm in no rush.
You just got here.
Yeah, because I ran into Ari. He said he's going to stay there till Sunday and then go to the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, he was going to go hiking with, like, Steve Simone or something.
Yeah, man. I wish I had the time to do all that shit, man. But I got shit. I got to feed a cat. I got to feed a rabbit.
I had time, but they didn't invite me. You know?
No.
I've never been to the Grand Canyon.
Neither have I.
Neither have
oh,
I.
Oh, really?
That makes no, three of us.
Neither have I, because when we had Tom Green, he was working at the Laugh Out Loud Stand Up Live. He said he stood till Monday and drove to the desert. He went to Sedona. He took some badass pictures over there. I never been there either. But when I do go there, I'm going to be on mushrooms.
Yeah.
In Sedona.
That's the way to go. That's a vortex.
Have you been there?
I've driven through, but
it's red, right?
Spiritual. There's a lot of energies there, they say. Like it's a, like I said, it's like a vortex.
Like Joshua Tree or something?
Been there with Eagle?
Maybe Never. Even more so. They say it's like a magnetic.
Really?
You could actually...
Something in the minerals over there or what?
Minerals, the rocks, the placement under the stars. You know, they also say like Santa Fe or Taos, New Mexico. It's like
Taos!
Taos, New Mexico and Sedona. They're very spiritual. There's something going on there in a good way.
But you should have drove through there, bro, before you set. Yeah, man. He showed up. I don't know what's wrong with this guy. In a bad mood? He was in a zone or what? You were more nervous than Darush for Game 7, bro.
Are you talking about All Things Comedy, show out there?
Yeah. Because we were doing the big show.
Okay, which show were you on?
The night show, the last one.
Last one on Thursday night. It was me, because I went up before him, and, you know, the first show we done with, I go before him.
Right, right.
So the
Hard
pressure was on.
Gotta
yeah.
do it.
And there was a lot of good comic stuff, but it was good, huh?
Oh, yeah.
The crowd was ready, huh? They were fucked up, but they were ready.
Yeah, Ian Edwards was on the show, too, and it was like, yeah, it was cool.
Was it at Tempe Improv or Stand Up Live?
Stand Up Live.
Okay.
Stand Up Live.
That's a big place. Was it? It's like packed, and yeah, they wanted it. I feel like Phoenix is, they want to laugh. They just want to, and those audiences through the podcast, and they came out, they're like, right. I had good sets also. But,
did you stay at the end? To the end of the show?
Oh, yeah.
Who closed?
Who closed the show at the end? Yeah, because he went on for a minute.
Ooh,
but I was outside.
Fun, right? So you met a lot. You got to hang out with Tebow, and I was going to say you hung out with Dean, but he was there, I guess.
Yeah, he was there.
He was there for a little bit.
There was a lot of smoke in the green room, huh?
Oh, yeah. A lot of puffing.
I'm straight edge. I don't do that.
No? Ever?
I do. I'm kidding. I mean, it's the law. It's the law to smoke pot and have a North Face jacket in California.
I think more like New York. Well, but you go has one, though.
Yeah, that was like, you know, the little get up on 2010.
Yeah, but that was that was tight, man. I knew there was something. Lisa thought there was something up.
Oh really? Oh yeah. No. That was it, dude. That was the first festival I ever been a part of, dude.
Really?
So, yeah. Nah, it's just like
you're just so happy you took two lanyards.
That's funny. So it was like your
first ever being a part of like a real festival. Dude.
How many people were asking you how'd you get in there, bro?
Oh, dude, it's like, hey, what's up with that? So how'd you like? And honestly, I really
what
wanted
Chivo,
to
bro?
Yeah, I wanted to respond like I don't even have no idea, bro. You know what I'm saying?
I get it. You do the podcast with Felipe.
Yeah.
We did Brea. You're on that show. It was like I didn't think when I knew you were there. I didn't like go. Oh, what is he doing here? I just assumed, like, you know, I pick up on energies. I know what's up. You know, like, Felipe, we get it. We've been to Dodger Stadium. We're not afraid to mix it up. Public schools, LAs. We've been here through our ups and downs. But I've done a lot of these festivals. I know these guys. It's like.
What was your first festival?
Worst festival, better.
Oh.
Don't even mention it. Just say what happened.
No, I mean, I've done.
Picked up by a cook.
I've done early on in the I get them going. You know, I'm there in the early stages, the first year, the second year, and then it gets popular, then I get pushed aside. But, you know, I've done Moon Tower, I've done Montreal.
It's funny how you say
times.
That you get pushed aside.
Yeah.
It happens.
It does.
Like, I always tell people, like, when in the beginning, I would say, yeah, man, Flip, we're trying to find a comedian, man, but it's only 300. Oh, so with 5,000, you would have got Mencia, right? You would have just forgot about Felipe.
Flash and pressure
aside.
How about you give me 600 and call it a deal?
Oh. Straight into Venmo.
I always ask for double what they want, man. Then I ask for five. Then I go back to two.
Meet them at the middle?
Meet them at the middle, man.
So I don't want to get all into business, but I need to negotiate better to get somebody. You know, I'm like.
What do you want at every show do you think you should be paid?
At least $15. Like, that's what they do at the comedy store.
Nah, man. $50.
Okay, 50. I go, okay, in town.
In town, anywhere, any spot should be 100 for Steve Brody.
You got it. Well, you know, I think it's
common. More.
I think it's common knowledge, like the comedy store. Everybody knows that you do a regular spot in the original room. It's now $20 a spot. I think that's common knowledge. I don't like to talk, you know, about like.
Laugh Factory is 35. I know that. Oh. The improv used to be 15. When the comedy store was 25, the improv was 15.
Improv now, you do it, it's cash, and it's anywhere from like $8 to $13. It's always some like weird and 50 cents.
Sad,
they're giving you change, and I mean it's cash
for the meter, huh?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because you can't park in Fred Siegel anymore. You got to go find parking. And
damn.
But I mean, I like the improv, and I think that the Comedy Store. The other good thing about the Comedy Store, they're doing the main room. You actually get, and this is common knowledge, also a cut of the door.
Half.
So that, well, yeah, that's what I should negotiate, right? I want half, or I cancel and I walk out on my spot.
Door deal.
I go. I walk out. The Comedy Store, you play there, right?
Yeah.
You come by. It's they treat the comedians right. You know, I've done a couple of the other, not couple. I did another club, and it's just a little too corporate. It's a little too official. You have to confirm. You got to do this. You can't do that. It's like Comedy Store. You call in. You do your spots. Boom. It's like you're treated like an adult. And I think that shows and why it's popular and why they want to hang out. And you want to see these other clubs like. And they try to copy the Comedy Store. You see them on social media and all that. They try and copy it, which is fine, but you got to be organic and natural. And the comedians pick up on that, and that's why they're drawn, and that's a big part of it, to the Comedy Store, because you got some organic guys who are, like, feeling it out and bringing in the right vibe. What do you think about that?
Well said.
Oh, thank you. Can I get a recording of that? That was
Yeah, like, like I don't, like, so, like, if you're calling in for spots, what should you have to confirm? Because you're already calling in. Calling is confirming. Just give me my time.
Ooh.
Like, you have a spot at 45. Can you come? And you got to confirm. I want to check comes 2 weeks later. You like that, right?
Oh, yeah.
After you go out with the girl and she calls you 2 weeks later?
No, it's when you go out to do a comedy spot and they give you a check for 2 weeks later.
Oh, they do that?
Yeah. You don't get paid that same day or night?
Oh, I don't know those shows. Is that a certain
someone no casino?
I've only been a couple times, like, screwed on money, and I chalked it up as experience.
Are there clubs in LA you won't do?
You're
pretty much open with everybody.
I mean, I won't do urban clubs. That's a known fact. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. Hello.
No, that.
No, I'm joking. I would. I I'll do. Are there clubs I won't do? No, I'm open. I mean, some rooms I'm probably a little more nervous. I mean, than others, like. I'll do them all. I mean, I do the Comedy Store. I do the improv. I've done the alternative rooms. For me, I go into these alternative rooms with these kids, and you can kind of, like, lay into them. You know, because they come to L.A., a lot of them want to be in show business or be around it. And I grew up here. You know, I grew up in the Valley. I've also been able to work in these TV shows that they like. And so it's like, I know their secrets. So you can go right at them. I don't do it with Venom. But you can go right at these kids. And so those are the fun alternative rooms. And you do the Comedy Store, and it's a little, you got to kind of, like, read the crowd a little bit. You know, it's a bigger night. It's like, oh, my Comedy Store now is almost like the, you know, the Magic Castle. It's almost, it's gotten popular, but it's still edgy, which is good. I just hope they don't lose that edginess with their popularity. You know, that's always a fear.
Yeah, man. Start putting in stars.
But I want to do, right. Did, I don't know what the, I want to go expand and do Orange County and do the row, do these cool gigs. I like to mix it up. I've done so much audience warm up, and I've done a lot of crazy hostile bar shows. So I'm not like, I don't do that. I'm afraid, because people used to be afraid of the Comedy Store back in the day. And it's like, I was a regular, you know, past since like 2000. So I was, it's like all the same to me.
You were there during the little dark times before it started popping now, right?
Yeah. I was there through, all those times. But for me, I kind of, you know, I did so much late night. I kind of rode above the early drama, whatever there was going on with those earlier spots. And I would do my late night stuff, mixing it up with the crowd, drumming with Don Barris, and just, but we kind of had a run of the place. Not that the comedians don't still get to do what they want, but it was really like a lot of, it could have been better. They could have done a better, like we always say, they should do a better job of promoting this. And then once social media came around, got a good guy, Brenton, doing that, and, you know, Rogan and these guys coming back, and Adam, it was just like a perfect mix. And hopefully, you know, it keeps going and the shows expand. Like, why not bring in more shows, more guys, and hopefully the improv, or they'll pick, maybe they won't, maybe they'll never learn. I don't know. So why not just keep more shows?
That's right, man. There was no promotion back then, huh?
Huh.
None, right?
None, dude.
How many times did the Laugh Factory promote anything?
Nothing, dude. Just a parking lot killer,
bro.
Huh?
They were depending. They were the Laugh Factory was depending on Jay Davis to have a show every night.
Yeah, dude.
You know, it was like those young comrades that were packing the room on college night. You know, on Ben Glebe with his Comedy Jews. Mm-hmm. Then Joe Torre with his Fat Tuesdays.
Oh, yeah.
You know, man, those comedians were actually promoting their own shows. You know, it wasn't the comedy club promoting their shows. They were packed because they were like, well, and then the guy Chris Martinez from the Laugh Factory on Latino Night, this guy was actually going into clubs and in the parking, like, hey, man, got free tickets to Laugh Factory, and lying to them that Joe Lopez is going to be there.
Oh, really?
So we had a packed Latino night.
Yeah, man. It was
and
we were
promoting it ourselves.
But didn't, but the Laugh Factory.
Not one banner on stage. Come watch Latino night.
Oh, yeah.
But they that we wanted one.
But they were popping on the weekends for, you know, they did all right on Fridays and
Saturdays,
right? Oh,
Laugh Factory was packed on Friday because Dane Cook will show up and do like an hour.
So where was that crowd coming from, the Dane Cook crowd? All over
there the valley. They were coming in from Jay Davis' room. They were growing up watching Dane Cook at Dublin's and then watching him at the Laugh Factory with Jay Davis shows, and then Skylar Stone shows. They were very popular.
They were popular.
They were fans of celebrities, because if you go to like when Lisa was waitressing at the Laugh Factory on Chocolate Sundays, dude, girls just showed up looking for that money.
For those stars?
Yeah, because once the Lakers started showing up, hot, tall, model-looking black girls would show up, and they wouldn't buy nothing, because Lisa would tell me. They would just order stuff and then wait for someone to pay for it. Like, just ignore her. This bill's going to be $79. Okay, just leave it right there.
Wait, the Laker guys would come in and they would not?
Fisher was there. Football players.
And did they were cool, not cool, ran you around?
They were all cool.
Didn't tip?
The audience members.
They were out of control.
Yeah. There were a lot of pretty girls there, man. A lot of cheating.
Oh, really?
A lot of cheating from comics. And it was, you know, sometimes they had to set it up so crazy that, you know, like on most nights, every comic gets to hang out in a hallway by the bathroom. And if you had a good set, you come out. This is how I would do it. I learned from the best. I would have an awesome set. Then I would look around the audience. And if I see someone I like, I'll wait for them to get up and go to the bathroom. And then I'll catch them coming out of the bathroom. At the same time, I'm coming out of the bathroom going, oh, wow, you were funny. Oh, yeah, that.
I know that. I'm right by the lockers.
Oh,
yeah,
hello.
Man.
Exactly.
Even Brody, you beast.
You got it.
That's right, cocksucker.
Yeah, it's a little combo.
That's
how
I met Lisa, bro. Anyway, so. But on Chocolate Sunday, whoever runs that show doesn't let comedians hang out right there.
Oh.
Other comics got to go upstairs. So the host gets the first dibs.
Oh, man.
And then they send everybody else upstairs.
He gets the top shelf.
So that is it a whole different vibe on, say, like the Chocolate Tuesdays or whatever, the night, is it a Latin night, and then they have the Urban Night?
The Urban Night Chocolate Sunday, it's more like an event. It's like they promote hard on their social media, and you get all types of African-Americans. They're Ethiopian, real Africans, you know, people from the South Central, people from the Valley, people from out of state, people fly into that show.
And how are the crowds like towards, say, somebody like me? Now if you were to ask Brody, are you nervous about, I don't know if the question
well,
was like.
If you're nervous, they're going to sense nervous.
I know,
they're
that's what I'm
up.
Saying.
They're going to give up.
So what do I got to do? Come at them hard? Come at the crowd hard?
Come at them real and be yourself, man.
Scared.
Don't chuck and jive to them. Just tell them, man. If you want to tell them that you're afraid to be there with your first line, they're going to eat it up and laugh, man. And they're gonna give you support and go, you all right, Stevie? You just do your thing.
Yeah, you're right. I know those guys, and I end up doing okay. You know, that's the thing. Like I've done
but
so many.
It's sad when you're doing bad, though.
Uh oh. Here we go.
The same lady will go. Like I remember some guy was bombing bad.
Uh oh.
And the same woman said, "Somebody help him."
Oh, I can see that happening. Oh my gosh.
That's all she needed to say.
Somebody help Stevie.
How about them Lakers?
Oh, I need you now. No, I've done so much audience warm up for here for Fox Sports and
the
all these shows.
The newlywed game.
And so you're thrown in. You know, you're getting audiences from inner city out. You have no choice. You know, it's your job. You're doing warm up. So it's like, and I just, that crowds, urban crowds will say, they like it when I act like cocky and like, I played sports. You don't talk to me that way. My friend always told that they like the fake confidence. I mean, it's confidence, but it's, they like to be talked to, you know, not afraid. And same thing kind of with like seriousness. I'd get these, you know, I got every high school, every, but let's say every like high school and the football teams, the baseball teams, the basketball teams, and they're like looking to be coached. They're looking to be, they liked it when I got on them for like not sitting up, for not being supportive. And then I would do my pitching motions. It's like, I would take that sports attitude into the audience warm up. And now with like comedy, I take elements of that, you
from
know,
the bullpen to the stage
a little bit. Yeah. You know, learning about energy. It really is like energy and, you know, but not beating the audience. You know, go to a comedy club, you can't make them sit up, but you can joke about it. Whereas like when I do this TV shows, like I can make you sit up. You know what I mean? So you find, but you learn just about energies, groups. And I was like lucky to be able to do all those warm-ups and work with all the different schools and in, you know, all different groups of people. And they're all people. They all, but they, if you bring, you bring the positive, you bring it, you know, eventually it might take a minute or two to come around, but then they come around and, you know, that's what I always feel.
That's what I do, bro.
Yes, you got
that's
it.
That's what I do, bro.
I'm from the valley too, bro.
818.
I haven't thought about that for
I
a minute.
I went to Kennedy High School, bro.
Who's that? Who's that?
There's some guy that we know, man. He's a comedian, man. He started off in the Latin scene back in the 90s, late 90s. But now he's doing motivational speaking in colleges.
Oh, get me into that. You I'm should, serious.
But you're just watching you speak, you're already more more credible than the other guy we're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
How many followers does he have on Instagram?
Come on, man.
You beat him up. Dude.
Okay, then
you
let,
beat
me,
him
let me
like
get
a
his gigs.
Bad stick, bro.
Let me get his gigs.
Contact the National Council of La Raza.
I've heard of La Raza.
But so you grew up in L.A., man. You could tell that you've always been to sports.
Yeah, I just like always.
Baseball,
always
everything.
Played baseball. I was, you know, basketball.
You play Little League?
Little League, Tarzana, Little
you
League.
You a bad motherfucker?
Yeah. I had a good arm.
Did you love the Bad News Bears, too?
I like the Bad
I
News
love
Bears.
I love the Bad News Bears.
I like the original one.
Me
dude.
Too, bro.
That's a
I love it.
One,
that was like... I love baseball, bro. Like, when I was a little kid, I used to watch everything that's baseball. I used to watch, Is This Week in Baseball.
That's right.
And I used to watch Dodger Dugout.
Channel 11.
Yes, right before the game started, old bro. School. I used to watch the Dodger post-game show. I used to watch the show before the show. And I used to watch that guy, the fucking sports machine.
George Michaels. Yeah, George Michaels.
George Michaels.
This is like, yeah, pre-internet, pre-major cable.
It was all, then, man, like, I used to hang out, bro. Like, I knew a guy named Lamont Repose. Lamont Repose. He's dead now.
Uh-oh. Okay.
But that guy was a legend in the projects, bro. This guy.
Like a badass baseball player?
He was badass. He loved the Dodgers so much that he would always sneak into the stadium. And, man, I see pictures of him with Tom Niedenfier, bro, with no T-shirt on.
Are you serious?
He's like, they're holding Tom Niedenfier's.
Who had no shirt on? The kid?
Tom Niedenfier.
Okay. Then all right. Well, it's kind of strange. But
and no. He took home with bats, probably stole them.
So he make it all the way in?
All the way in, bro.
Dude.
We used to sneak into Dodger Stadium. I knew all.
Which way?
Well, just it's,
how? Because where'd you go? The king of sneaking into.
Conference. I only snuck in once, but I had a ticket. I just didn't. I just walked by him real fast.
Well, Dodger Stadium, I knew that's. You know, my friend was a bat boy, so I had. Sometimes we would just sneak in to sneak in, like we to see how far we could push it.
Right.
But we used to sneak into the Forum for Lakers Celtic games. It was easy. Like you go in and then you slip the, you get the ticket stub. Like you're gonna go outside and. Smoked a cigarette, and they put like they write on your ticket. So then you get a friend a ticket stub. You write on the ticket, and you both go in. So we snuck into like
I
Lakers
snuck into
Celtics.
The Forum twice.
It was easy to sneak in. Everybody would sneak into the Forum, and the Celtics, the Lakers. That was a huge thing. But I think this with the Dodgers right now in the World Series, this is bigger. I think it's as big as Showtime Lakers. It's definitely bigger than like Kobe Shaq Lakers.
Hell yeah.
The Dodgers.
Especially going to the seventh game, dude.
It brings everybody together. The Latin community. You've got the Asian community. You even got the Persian community. You got Iranians with Yu Darvish. You got Beverly Hills and Encino into it. This is international. people like the Dodgers, the energy, they feed off the crowd, always 3 million, and this is, I think this is good for everybody, what's happening.
Hell yeah, bro. So when I got invited, like, who's going to turn down Game 5 tickets, bro?
Oh, hell no. Nah,
and then I didn't know where I was going to sit. Dude, I was tired, bro, because I only slept like 3 hours, 4 hours a night to make us, I had to fly the next day. Mm. And I was like, the times and all that. So I slept 4 hours one night, 4 hours the next night, 4 hours the next night.
12 hours.
When I got to the name, when I got to the show, when I got to Phoenix, bro, dude, it was like baseball fever by my hotel room, bros. All the scalpers from Los Angeles were scalping tickets outside of my hotel room.
Are you serious?
All of them. Shout out to Mike G Tickets. He got 300 tickets to sell today.
Damn. Wait, 300 tickets he's got for
He has 300 tickets for game 5, game 6, and 7. And he had an extra one for me, bro, to sit in the front, like right behind home plate. But I gotta leave my wife hanging by herself. She can be chilled by herself.
Give her some nachos or I gotta take off real quick.
Where'd you sit in Houston?
Oh, dude, I didn't know where I was gonna sit. I sat on the second row behind the Dodgers dugout.
Are you serious? Yes. Second row? He was on TV?
Yeah, Joe
he was
Lopez.
On TV, dude.
Oh, Joe Lopez invited me.
Did you get some good pictures?
Oh, hell yeah, man. And I made a video, man. Oh. Some people, man, have to mortgage their homes for World Series tickets. I had to just give up my kidney to George Lopez.
Yeah, he needed that.
Yeah, and man,
give it back to the lady.
We were right behind home plate, right behind the Dodgers.
Oh,
and I was sitting next to Jose Cruz Jr., bro.
Are you serious?
Jose Cruz, his father played Jose Cruz, the original one.
Big on the Astros.
He played for the Astros, and I was sitting there with Jose Cruz Jr. He played for the Dodgers maybe 2 months or a year.
Yep.
And he's a baseball analyst right now, and he knew exactly how many home runs it was before he broke the record for most home runs in the World Series.
Yeah.
Oh,
and his kids were there. His son got drafted, but he's going to finish off his Rice. He played for Rice University. Jose Cruz Jr.
Can I say something?
Yes, sir.
I played baseball at Arizona State University. My first game.
You were drafted?
I wasn't drafted. I would have been, but I had elbow.
Arizona State University?
Yeah, yeah.
Full scholarship,
Phoenix,
right?
Or Scottsdale?
I earned one. Tempe.
Phoenix, Tempe, all right.
Tempe.
A good team, bro.
The
Sun
first,
Devils don't fuck around.
That's right. The first game I ever started was in 1990. The team I faced, Rice University.
Yeah.
He was on the team.
Was that Cruz Jr.?
You got it. Faced him. Forgot what he did. Probably got a hit. But
you pitching?
I pitched. I'm pretty sure I faced him, but I faced Rice. It was my first victory. Fernando Vina was our second baseman. Went on to play like 11 years in the major leagues. Paul LaDuca later on was with the Dodgers too. But yeah, I pitched. I beat UCLA. I beat Rice. I beat Lubbock Christian. We went to the College World Series. I coached first base. So I've done a lot of baseball, and yeah, it's in my blood. You know, I love playing catch. I love throwing the ball, and I'll judge a comedian on how they throw. You know, oh, you talk tough? Here's a ball. Here's a glove. Okay, let me see how you throw. Oh, you throw pretty good. Now let's see how you catch it. Are you afraid of the ball? Are you one of those guys who moves out of the way? Do you, like, are you hide behind your glove? That's what I look at. So I play baseball.
I saw Steven Brody, actually, bro, and Natasha Leggero, and I forgot who else was there, too. And we were at the, when I threw out the first pitch at Dodger Stadium.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That was like, I've seen that photo. Yeah, that was quite a while ago. Yeah, you used to work at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, I saw Yoshi. Oh, fool. I went there, man, and guess who's still there, man? George. Gorilla George.
You said that fool that always lies?
Yeah, man. No. That's the fool that fucking my friend Ivan, Gabriel Iglesias' assistant, we two all work at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
We two work Yoshinoya because they brought in Yoshinoya because Hideo Nomo showed up. Oh, and they knew that they were going to get a lot of Japanese customers, so they got to make sure Yoshinoya.
Yoshinoya,
ready.
He's got a good podcast.
No, not Yoshi.
Oh, okay.
Yoshinoya, the restaurant.
Oh, got it.
That's Yoshi, right? The porn guy.
This fool.
I remember Yoshi, man. He wanted to do a set of my show at Wild Coyotes. Yeah, bring any porn. I'll put you up. Even three
came pornos. Back 20,
came back with a 20.
Can I tell you something about that? So I've known Yoshi since like 94 when I moved up to Seattle. So Yoshi was up there, Josh Wolf, Joey Diaz.
That's right, cocksucker. Right. Back.
Craig Gass, and then our friend Tana, who worked in the adult video store. He worked in Taboo Video. So Tana was the original guy, and Yoshi came in to work at Taboo Video, and that's how Yoshi got all into porn up in Seattle. Then he moved down to L.A., but he was also up in Seattle. So I went to hang out with the Yankees. My friend was a coach with the Yankees, somebody I knew. So I'd hang out with the Yankees, and then I would give porn to the Yankees. This is back in the day when it was all DVDs. So, like, Jason Giambi and all the, I mean, he would talk about it, but
fucking up that steroid arm, bro.
I'd bring
West Covina, huh?
Yoshi, yeah, yeah. Yoshi would give me boxes of porn to give to the Yankees. They needed it, and it helped them. Look at, they won all those World Series because they had to release it. So
the mojo.
Exactly. But now it's all online. But that's the connection to Yoshi, just helping out Major League Baseball behind the scenes.
Well, he had regular photos of chicks, and then I would keep them in my refrigerator, bro. They were my ladies, bro. She thought they were my ladies.
Damn.
Oh.
He had like that whole crazy ass European porn too, all that shit.
Oh yeah, I still got it. They're classic. But he had everything, and Yoshi's like made a name for himself. He knows, and Yoshi's another guy, just a go getter, a good guy, positive energy, and. He's like, I think there's like two of them. He's like, he's always in Europe. He's always in.
Always traveling, dude.
Always traveling. And then he's got a, then you say, Yoshi, what have you been up to? Oh, I've been up in Sylmar. I mean, what? I thought you're like all over the world. So, but he was the inside porn guy for Major League Baseball. And I don't think
and
anybody
for comedy, too.
Yeah, he would be handing those things out like candy. Dude.
He saved a lot of lives. I mean, these guys, you know, I don't need any issue. I'll go home, pop in the DVD. It was cassettes, too, also.
I just got bummed. Yoshi, give me a DVD.
Yeah, I got depressed. It helped with depression. Instead of like antidepressants, he would just give you a DVD. You'll feel better.
What happened with that dude you used to work with, that George guy?
George. Oh, the dude. So that guy's still working there, bro.
Like the animal?
That's the guy that my friend Ivan, who works for Gabriel Glenson, now cut his hair for like $10 and fucked it all up, bro.
He had to wear a
beanie, bro. He fucked up his hair. Anyway, so after the I'm thinking like, after the game, right now, I'm sitting there with a bunch of Astros fans, and George had been to every game. He went to all 7 games.
Uh-huh.
And it's funny, man, because they're not used to seeing someone crazy. Who I represent Pavilion, bro. I cheer, like, I'm in left pavilion.
You got
left field
it.
Pavilion, bro. So when the Astros were cheering, you know, that someone struck out, I stood up and I looked back and said, "What's the score, Astros? Can somebody tell me the score? Please tell me the score. I don't know. I can't look back." Because the Dodgers were winning 4-0 at the time.
Uh-huh.
You were saying that?
Yeah.
Were they, and what did they say stuff back?
They didn't say nothing, bro. Silence.
How loud was it didn't there, that pink. Astro? That
it was loud, bro, but it was not that loud where I was at it. They were happy, though, man. They were loud. And, man, I never sit that close, bro. I was going like when every time the Dodgers would come back when they were losing,
uh-huh.
I would say, "Good job, guys, good job." They were watching me. Like, you can see my hand, bro.
Would they look up at you?
Some of them looked up, like I was crazy, bro.
Does George know the guys? Like, did they see George and, like, acknowledge
man,
him?
After the game, I thought we were going to go home, you know, smoke a little. Anyways, man, before we come on, man, shout out to Ish from Houston. That fool picked me up, bro.
Are you serious?
He picked me up, bro, drove me around the city,
hell yeah,
took
dude.
Care of me. Went to eat Chinese food with him. It was amazing. Then he picked me up after the game, and we hung out again.
It's better than an Uber driver.
Better, man.
Personal friendships.
George is friends with Nate Diaz. No, Nate.
Oh, the wrestler?
The umpire.
Oh, Lance Diaz.
Lance Diaz, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Lance.
Huh? Yeah.
Laz Diaz, something like
Laz
that.
Laz Diaz. He's not Puerto Rican.
Friends
or something.
With the umpire?
Yeah. So, man, dude. After the game, I thought I'm going home, so we're waiting. The game's over, man. So George goes, "Hey, man, we're going to go hang out with the umpires." I think, "What? What do you mean hanging with the umpires?" He goes, "No, they have their own green room downstairs." So we took an elevator, bro. I'm there with the umpires' families, bro. And we're eating, dog. We're eating food, their food and shit, hanging out. But the whole time, man, I'm looking at the umpire, man. I want to ask, man, what's up with them back?
Until that strike.
But I don't want to say nothing. So after that, we took a photo with everybody. I told everybody my HBO special. We all were leaving, bro. We walked through the field.
Oh, my gosh. You get a photo?
With the umpire. Hell yeah. They're a kick one, bro. I'm never going to be here again. And I came on NBC Sports with Fred Rogan.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I heard. Yeah,
I walked by his interview. I didn't even know, bro. I look like a creep looking for his car, looking for vegan dogs, looking for Pokemon, looking for a victory.
What are the odds that you would be hanging out with a Major League Baseball umpire and the hat that I'm wearing today is a Major League Baseball umpire hat?
Never.
People don't wear these.
Never.
These are.
I'm going to start wearing one, bro.
I believe in connections. I believe in energies. And I've been around world championships. I've been around winning baseball, and I learned that from the Valley. You know, my buddy's won 5 World Series championships. He went to L.A. Unified. He went to Taft. He's been in not only one because he was with the Yankees. He was with the Dodgers for 4 years. He was with the Cubs. Bottom line is
– who, bro?
Mike Brazello. Winning attitude, blue collar, gets it, pushing – creating Kershaw, creating the cutter with Kenley Jansen. What I'm getting at is, and what are the odds that we scheduled this podcast for the
game seven?
Game seven. Yeah, you worked there. I just put up a photo on my Instagram.
Don't you go sprayed it?
You sprayed it? You worked? You worked a ground screw?
No, man. Kevin Roach is there.
Oh, you did?
Not there, dude.
Working?
No, around the corner, actually. Though.
Western.
La Cucaracha.
Yeah, La Cucaracha.
Oh, they have good chicken.
Are they hiring over there right now?
Not right now.
Because if you're hiring, because if you're hiring, bro, you can maybe use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter.
I'll let the big guy know.
ZipRecruiter, bro, it's our sponsor this week. What if hiring could be easier, more streamlined, and less time consuming? So even when you're busy, you could still be smart about the way you hire instead of hiring losers. How ZipRecruiter is different. With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just one click. You can rest easy knowing your job is being seen by the right candidates. How many people do you know that we have businesses, bro?
A lot.
A lot, right? Then ZipRecruiter puts a smart matching technology to work, actively notifying qualified candidates about your job within minutes of posting so you receive the best possible matches. You think you can still lie, bro, about your credentials?
Or in some jobs.
You probably could lie better, huh?
You come somebody.
No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/foo. ZipRecruiter.com/foo. That's ZipRecruiter.com/foo. One more time. Try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/foo. Ooh. ZipRecruiter.
I'm on it right now.
You got people to hire, Rodrigo?
Yeah, we'll have to let Mondo know, dude.
Because, like, I'm pretty sure, like, if Mondo would use ZipRecruiter, he'd probably get a qualified roach killer right away, bro. Not no family members that you got to. It sucks when you hire a family, you got to see them on Thanksgiving, and you know they're hungry because you fired them.
No present for you this year.
Steven Brody here, man.
You got it.
Comedy Store regular.
Yes, Panorama City, born Kaiser.
You and I did an open mic once.
We did where?
At the in the Valley, of course. That's where you're from. At the Buzz Cafe or Buzz something.
Sounds familiar. Yeah. I'll give that an address. We did an open mic. How long? It must have been a long time ago.
Long time ago, man. 1999 or something.
I believe that.
Yeah.
Is that on like Ventura Boulevard? Buzz?
Yeah, Ventura Boulevard. You were there with another guy, but when I reminded you of the joke last time, you said it wasn't yours. But I swear to God, bro, you're the one who said it. You said when stretch marks was God's way of telling women you shouldn't be this fat.
Oh, that's Tana's line. I did that. It's Tana's
line.
Or
your homeboy you were there with.
That's
with
Tana,
you.
Who's friends with Yoshi.
Yeah.
Tana was a funny guy. You know, that's where I learned a lot about, like, being.
So you were open micing with that guy? Maybe it was him who said it.
Yeah, he probably stole. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know how that works. No, Tana didn't steal. But, yeah, we did open mics up in Seattle. And, you know, like I said, that's where I learned Yoshi. And we learned about just being. I learned about, you know, Justin Turner worked with the same guy I work with about positive words. And I saw the results. And then. When I went to Seattle and I saw that, hey, it works. And it was just fun. It's fun to be positive. We did cable access. You could say whatever you want. You could curse. You could show nudity. We didn't show that. Tana and I, we did like 180 live shows because we thought it would be funny to be different, you know. So, and Seattle was prime for like making fun of. They like to protest everything. Yeah. We came up and like just shaking it up. But after a while, you got to get out of there, get to New York.
What's up, fool? Jingle, what's up, bro?
Yes, Brody.
Chilling, getting ready for this game, man.
Yes, game 7 tonight.
Game 7, man. Who's pitching?
Darvish.
Darvish?
Persian, Asian. Persian.
Yeah, by the time this airs, people will know the results.
I know.
Game 7.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it was today, okay? Game 7, bro.
Oh, my gosh.
What's going to happen, bro?
Dude, I'm going for a Dodger win, dude. That's it, man.
That's it, man? If someone would ask you, bro, Rodrigo, I got game 7 tickets right now. Show up. They're there. What'd you do?
I'll say yes, but I was already thinking about going over there and sneaking in tonight.
I know, bro.
Oh, no. There's going to be like National Guard there. It's going to be high end FBI.
Let's throw your ass in the camp.
All you got to do is find yourself a military officer outfit and say, man, I'm supposed to be holding a flag.
I'm supposed to be singing the national anthem.
Dress up like a maintenance guy. Hey, man, I'm supposed to be cleaning this grass. Dude, I'm telling
you. There
you go. Because you know what? If you dress up like the lowest job they have at Dodger Stadium, don't even look at your face. Like if you have a mopper, nobody looks at him.
Yeah, you get a mop.
When was the last time you remember what the mop guy looked like?
Never.
But you remember who the security guard looked like.
Oh, dude.
You remember what the fucking cop looked like.
Oh, security guard haircut, huh?
So you go mop,
You go mop, bro.
How was security when you were over there?
Fool. Let me tell you, man. You want to sneak into Dodger Stadium? Go to the way up top, above reserve. There's a VIP area. And right there, there's a warehouse door that's
always
open. And you can walk all the way down. Am I lying, Steve?
No. You are. I know all the little nooks and crannies.
You can hide. But you can't go all the way out to where they're going to ask for a ticket. You got to go stay on Loge for a while, stay on Blue Reserve for a while, chill, and then work your way down.
But I'll tell you, after 9/11, security changed, and now Dodger Stadium is just like, there aren't cameras everywhere. You know, they'll be on you. You'll be like, think you're somewhere, and like a guy pops out, you can't be here. You know, it's like, it's pretty hardcore now, but it's worth it. I think that
they're watching, bro.
Yeah, it's what they're getting. Like, it's like Big Brother.
They kicked out this couple on the side of me last night. I don't know why they kicked them out. And then someone told me that that woman husband or her grabbed that Astros hat from somebody and threw it on the field, bro.
Oh,
but I didn't even see it happen.
It was all quick.
They just grabbed her like, come here, ma'am. What? I didn't do nothing. What?
Cameras everywhere. Big Brother. There's a lot of Astro fans. There's a lot of orange in the crowds there.
Well, you had that friend that worked Dodger Security, and he said that on every seat in Dodger Stadium, they can point a camera at you.
Oh, yeah. There's high-definition cameras. They are on
and that's
you.
That's going facial, back like 6-7 years.
Facial recognition. I mean, they have things like you can go on the internet and type in your which game you went to, and you can zoom in and see your face. I mean, they're doing everything. And baseball now is, you know, with the technology, these juice balls, these, it's like arena baseball. People like it. It's quick. I don't know if this will carry over to the regular season. You know, maybe they're only into it for the World Series. But the pace of the game, the quickness, the fans into it. But even that game went 5 hours the other night. It seemed like 3 hours. It's like good. It's good.
Went by fast.
It's good wholesome entertainment.
And you watch the whole game?
Hell yeah. Wasn't saying. And what's up with the baseballs that they're saying that like they're hitting a lot of too many home runs this year?
So, are the baseballs lighter or heavier?
Or they wound up tighter?
I think they're wound up a little tighter.
I think that's giving them the.
That's true because one of those home runs that was hit at Maiden Field.
Uh huh.
The ball was going 96 miles an hour, bro. 97, and the guy still whacked it out of the field, dog. I mean, that ball soared, bro. That ball was so high, he didn't think it would ever come down. When it came down, it was a home run. I think Maroon Gonzalez hit that one. Maroon Gonzalez.
Marvin, yeah. These, I think they're a little juiced, but, you know, it's still – I like it. You still got to get the guys out. It's for both teams. But these games are pretty exciting. Everybody – my mom's into it. You got regular people into it, and it's just
– Isaac's into it, bro.
Hell yeah.
To play baseball now.
Oh, yeah?
After the game, that fool went to his room and locked everything up, bro. Then he come back outside. he was mad at the umpire, bro.
Are you serious?
I was afraid to tell him, bro. We ate together.
But you know what I'm not seeing?
Some pitches, dude.
I'm not seeing Dodger flags around on cars. I don't know. I was gone.
I see more
week.
Hats. Everybody's wearing hats.
I see one flag on the way over here, but man,
no flag.
What's up with that? Somebody slept on that hustle or what?
Yeah, I don't know.
And Minute Maid Field, there was a lot of orange, bro.
Yeah.
And last night I saw some patches of orange. In
a lot.
Places.
It seemed like there was a lot. Like they travel. They're ass. Oh, Dodger fans travel too. But
I
something
saw a
about
shitload of Dodger fans in my hotel room, bro.
Yeah.
But they were all scalpers.
In Houston?
They were all scalpers. These guys have been scalping tickets for 20 years. Remember that one dude that was trying to sell us that extra ticket for cake for a lot of money? He was there, bro.
Are you serious?
That big old, big fat lady. He used to go to Wild Coyotes?
Yeah, because you start going to concerts a lot, or are those that you see that you start recognizing the scalpers, dude?
Well,
the
when I was talking to the main scalper, he told me that after the World Series, they're going to rest for a day, and they're going to all fly out somewhere in Oregon somewhere. So there's a sold-out Bruno Mars concert, and they have tickets for that. They're gonna
really? Out. Trying to get Wango Tango. Let me I lived in Seattle.
I talked to Rick Dees right now.
I worked at
Chuy for la Puente.
I worked at the Seattle Supersonics. I sold T-shirts there.
Supersonics.
So I worked in the team shop in the arena, and I'd sell the T-shirts and I forgot what I was saying. I'm out of Seattle.
Scalpers.
Oh, yeah. So there was this guy there, this Asian guy who would always be kind of like a weird-looking guy, but always be scalping tickets at the game there at Key Arena in Seattle. And then he was shady because it was they had to go back and forth. Then about like 3 years later, I was down in it, maybe four or five. I was down in L.A. at the youth hostel, and he was staying there. The scalper guy, he was in L.A., and he was like surprised. He recognized my face, and I said I was like with FBI. It was like an FBI bust, and he freaked out over it. This crazy like Asian guy who was up to no good. But you're just talking about scalpers. I happen to see him. Like it is a racket. These guys travel around. They're like carnival workers. They're at everything, and I think they get benefits. It's they get residuals.
401k.
401k. It's a good deal. You know, there's options if you consider Uber, maybe. Scalping.
These guys know about the old school scalping too, man. Back in the days in the 80s and 90s when they say Ozzy was performing, and it was before credit card sales. I was one of those kids, bro, someone would give me like a shitload of cash, and I was standing in line, bro, and buying tickets for Ticketmaster's Music Plus.
Music Plus, bro.
That fool Mike G ticket guy mentioned Music Plus. Standing right there, bro, with a shitload of cash and buying 10 Ozzy Osbourne tickets. And then after it sold out, slanging those shits.
Yeah, the last
we would scalp tickets on Sundays. We go with the baseball camp, Sunday games to Dodger Stadium, leave from Encino, a bunch of these Jewish kids going to the baseball game. And then the owner of the camp would have like, 50 leftover tickets, the blue level up there. And he says, you got to go out and scalp them. We're scalping tickets for the baseball camp, running around Dodger Stadium. But again, it was different back then. It was like, a little
I remember
looser.
I remember those fucking summer baseball camp. I wanted to go so bad. They were like $700 for the whole week. And I was just a little kid from the housing projects. Ain't no way my mom gonna pay for that shit. She didn't pay for my braces. Anyway, so I wanted to go so bad, bro. Like, it was like, I remember reading the pamphlet, bro. It was like a summer camp.
Yeah.
It was 2 weeks, bro. First day, you could pick what you want to work on. Conditioning your arm. Stretching and base running. And I remember I said, I want outfielding. Man, I was into baseball, bro. I wanted to play so good. I remember Steve Brody, I had a book that I got. It was how to pitch, how to hits.
Yeah.
And how to field. And the whole book was about the main cover. Harold Baines, bro.
Damn.
From the White Sox.
Left-handed.
And the whole book was White Sox players.
Really?
And they were telling you, like if there's a position player on second, never hit the ball to third base, you got to hit it to first base. That's why you could get to the base, you could run a third.
Get him over.
You know what I mean? Technical shit.
Yeah. Sacrifice. Teamwork. I always say about winning. You win, you can get anything you want. These guys want individual, people want individual success. But you win as a team, the Dodgers win the World Series. 25 men on that roster, they're heroes. So they're going to have to never have to buy a drink ever again. It's like winning matters.
Never, bro.
And then within winning, you could be individual, but people want to put individual first. I mean, baseball, it is individual, but You want to put that team.
There's no I in the word team.
I am
but
win.
There is me. You got it. But I try to, like, that's what I try to tell people. You win, and it allows for freedoms, more fun. You know, you got to win. Like, when with the Yankees, like, they expect to win. It's like corporate. You know, and the Dodgers are getting that way, too. They expect to win. I think they're going to win tonight. I'm feeling it. I'm not just being a
homer. I'm feeling it, too, bro.
That's what I'm saying.
Even a Cardinal fan feels it, bro.
Yeah. We're going to push this thing through. It has to happen. Because if it doesn't, I'm going to cause problems tonight. I am
too,
going
man.
To.
I'm going to start looting off my wife's purse.
They thought Devil's Night in Detroit was bad. Wait till I get started. Yes.
I was funny when I was doing my Instagram video, and I walked up to these Astro fans. And you're right, bro. Everyone's into it. They were East Indian, probably. And I asked them, what's going to happen tonight? We're going to get stabbed. He said,
oh, yeah. They're prepared. No, everybody's into it.
If the Dodgers lose, do not yell Astros in front of their face on the way out.
You'll get, yeah.
I guarantee you right now, if you're an Astro fan, if you're from Houston, do not cheer on the way out in front of a Dodgers fan.
Tuck in your feelings.
Because now you're asking for problems. The game's over already.
Oh, you're already thinking the law. I wouldn't go there. Visualize positivity. Visualize that win. But they should put, you know.
Yes.
Worst case scenario.
And the Dodgers, if you guys win, man, rip every jersey, orange jersey you can find.
I think both fan bases are pretty.
I think because we're
respect each other.
I think because we're both. The Astros are so new at this. It's the first time here. There's not really no rivalry. Just like good competitive baseball.
Right, right.
Yeah, it is. Those.
And the games are good too.
Good ass team.
And then Lisa Hayes walks.
You hate
walks. When the walks.
Back and forth, it's drama. It's not quitting. Just when you think it's
bad drama, dude.
You just got to get up, and that's what baseball teaches you: dealing with failure. Like you just think it's done, and you get it going, and then you like some luck.
That's like the exciting part of this series, man.
When you're pitching, man. Like I was watching when I was playing MLB game on my video game, and I thought like, you know, like okay, I'm just gonna be throwing. You know, the baseball game is just gonna be throwing, right? Like, you know, most video games, you know. When you play a sports game, the player playing fatigues out. You can see like his energy level going down. But on the pitcher's point of view, when you're pitching, you know, on the video game, it's more like real life, bro. Like I give away two home runs, and you can see like in a video game, his mentalness is leaving too.
Yeah, it's psychological.
Oh, man. Dude, and you can see like when it's red on the pitcher, dude. He's not even throwing right. He don't have the 90 miles an hour, man. He's going to get rocked. It usually happens at 90, at 85 pitches.
Yeah, they start getting fatigued.
But there's a lot of you're a pitcher, Steve. What the mental thought after two back-to-back home runs? And
it hurts.
Your college is cheering for you. How do you feel? Does it feel like bombing or worse?
I think it hurts. Like, I'll never play again. I suck. I remember I'd go, oh, I stink. But you gotta bet. It depends. Are they two single shot home runs? Or are they like bombs? If you
Winning
give up like
runs.
two single shot, you know, one run solo shots, I could battle back from that. But if you're getting like clobbered, it is kind of demoralizing. But you know, you got hopefully these guys will back up. But I would pitch. I'd visualize. I'd get stronger like towards the end. Like I could smell that victory line. And I pitch a lot of 9-inning games. I struck out a lot of guys because I'd read their energies. Like, I'd take it personal. I go, you're digging in on me. I'm going to strike you out, or I'm going to bust a curveball on you. So I would give a great effort, but I wasn't, like, Cy Young. I would, like, 8-up innings. But there was times I, like, could really, like, dig in and get passionate. I could pitch angry. I can't do comedy angry. So pitching angry, get that arm, that adrenaline, get that 5-hour energy into you. Boom! I take it personal, but comedy, you got to kind of like be a little more finesse. But then some pitchers can pitch finesse too.
Can you hit too or just pitch?
I had good power. I hit some bombs in high school, but when I went to college, I really didn't work so much on my hitting. I didn't put the time in. I don't know if I ever would have been a college hitter, but I was definitely a pitcher. Good arm, but I had bad mechanics. The way I threw, I kind of put extra strain on my elbow, but And then, you know, college, it's like it's a big step up college, from high school to college. So my body, I really started, like, amping it up. And if you have bad mechanics, you'll put, you know, strain on an elbow or a shoulder. And so I put that strain. But ever since then, I've studied mechanics to where I'm 48. I can still throw. And people say, like, do you miss playing baseball? But it's like, I don't need to play major league. I just like being around it. I could play catch with a major leaguer in the offseason. There's so many avenues in baseball. If you love playing baseball and you love, you could find a job. It doesn't always have to be major leagues, you know. So,
what was your favorite pitch you threw?
Fastball. Again, like,
how fast?
I got clocked at 91 in
don't
college.
Be lying,
I did. I swear to gosh. I have videos on YouTube. I have video, I have some good pop videos. I threw hard. I pitched with passion.
In high school?
High school, I probably threw like mid to upper 80s.
That's still good. Huh?
Hell yeah, that's fast as hell.
You think,
dude,
in high school there's high school kids throwing 90?
Oh yeah, now that's like
that's
normal.
Fucking,
yeah,
that's
it's normal, dude.
Insane, bro. You're like a kid.
Because they have
steroids.
Well, no, they have better training tools now. They all have the, you know, the surgical tubing. They all have the little year-round baseball, and they have these exercises that really fine-tune your fast twitch muscles, and it's. And that's why you're seeing these guys, these little guys hitting bombs and running around. Like, how do they do it? Like Altuve or Bregman or, you know, Austin Barnes with the Dodgers. It's because they fine-tune those little muscles and these training tools. Whereas back in the day, it was like, just show up. Now they've got like, okay, five-hour energy, protein, greens.
Well, that stuff is more accessible now, too.
It's more accessible. It's all monitored, and it's, you know, fine-tuning. You see these guys now, it's like, I think like a lot of these soccer, and it's another thing, like you got the, it's like, it's an athletic game now. It's quick. These second base, there's flavor, like Baez with the Cubs and, you know, Seager's. It's an exciting game to watch right now. Bellinger. I mean, I like watching that guy play. He's like, so, he's so confident. It's like he's been there. He's cocky, but not unlikable. He's, I don't know if he's cocky, but he's got confidence. You know, and I like watching Puig. Puig is fun. He's emotional. Sometimes, you know, he doesn't hustle. He gets hard. He's hard on himself, but you can tell he cares. You know, you got to have a guy who cares. And I think these Dodger guys, they, you know, they put that passion out. Even though they're like a, they have unlimited budget. It's L.A. It's all glitzy. These guys really do care. And so that's a good, you know, Dave Roberts does a good job with that and the coaching staff. People don't realize how important a coaching staff is, because get these guys in the front office, or like telling them what to do, and then they hand it off. It's up to the coaches to kind of take that information and explain it to the player and talk to them. So these players don't like getting told what to do by guys who never played baseball. You know, you're in the front office, you study the stats. But if you get a baseball guy who played baseball and he understands the stats and he can communicate, you know, you have like a Dominican catcher who has to deal with some guy from Texas. Like, there's like, you got Japanese guy, you got different personalities, and it's up to the coach to kind of like, that's why Phil Jackson was a great coach, or Joe Torre. There's something about coaches do matter, and that's not physical. That's mental. That's energy. That's wisdom. I think the Dodgers have done a good job with that balance where they're like unlimited resources, but they get to play into that, you know, that energy too, play off with the fans, and fans matter.
Hell yeah, it's finally coming together perfectly, man.
You know, these Dodger fans, you know, they talk about Chris, you know, Chris Taylor was saying last night, we feed off the fans. That's why, you know, Seattle, you know, maybe they don't, you know, these fans, they don't.
A little dead.
Yeah, they're dead. They're
Yay.
Not into it. They're angry.
Boo.
You know what I mean?
They're clapping like, they're cheering like the old cartoon, Tom Slick. Yay.
Tom Slick.
Boo.
Dodger fans get it, but even look at San Diego. They're too laid back down there. They're too happy, whatever it is. You know what San Diego is?
Saltwater.
Well, no, I think it's a military town. There's people from all over the country that come to live there. So what's the real, other than
the connection?
Know, maybe the Chargers?
Big Frog, bro.
What's Big Frog? Is that a workout thing?
He's a comedian. He's a stand-up comedian.
Is that a workout thing?
No, there's some Big Frog.
It's a
thing.
Comedian from San Diego who has a podcast called Big Frog.
Oh, Big Frog.
We had him on a podcast. He just threw jeans. He used to make bootleg jeans, bro.
Play heavy metal guitar.
Love it. Rock and roll.
Hey, man, don't talk about me like that, eh?
I can talk baseball for a while.
What's up, yeah, Food dude. Podcast? My fucking speaker's cracking. I got dates, people. I got dates. Hold on. Also, I'm hosting Tropicalia Music Festival in Long Beach at Queen Mary's Park, November 11th, November 22. I'm in Midland, Texas, November 1 through the 3rd. I'm in Ontario, California, but all those shows are already sold out. So, yeah, I'm just letting you know it's sold out.
Scalpers?
There you go. Okay. December 14th through the 17th, I'll be at the Addison Improv in Addison, Texas. Check out felipesworld.com/tour for all shows, dates, the rest of the year. What you got, Rodrigo?
Chilling, dude. I'm going to be watching the game tonight.
You know, dates?
Mm-mm.
Podcast, but yeah, man.
Coming out tomorrow.
It's been a while, huh?
Yeah, well, the last one was last Tuesday.
Steven Brody, you have a podcast. Steven Brody is my friend. And also, man, I see your hustle, bro. You know, we don't see each other a lot, but I see what you're doing out there, bro. I keep track of everybody. I saw you did the HBO miniseries.
Thank you.
I saw that. It was cool. Saw you as a fucking cop on the Hangover.
You got it. Putting out.
See you on shit, bro.
I pop up here and there.
You pop
up,
bro. You're relevant, bro. You stay relevant.
I try
to. You throw yourself in there every year. Keep people, let people know Steve Brody's around.
That's right.
And also noticed one time you take your meds, and I was like, what the fuck's going on?
Well, you know what? I got blackballed, you know.
I remember, what was going on? You were in a bad mood. I'm like, do you need backup? Should we go fucking go fuck somebody up for you? What's going on, man?
I was...
No, you know, I checked, bro. Everybody I started off with, I see what they're doing.
But you know how these Hollywood types are. They pressure you. You know, I'm Blue Collar Valley, and they're trying to give me this, you know, Hollywood, Brentwood, West Side, the Hills of Satan energy. I go, I don't play that game. So there was...
For dinner, have lunch.
You know, there was like... I mean, I'll do dinner and lunch, but when you start like... I just felt like there was some conflict there, but I stick to my guns, and that's what, you know, you learn from it. You learn from it.
What happened, bro?
Well, you know, I was in a great mood, and I was fine, and I went to Ireland, and I wanted to, like, drink a little bit. So I said, I read, like, I could cut back. I'm not, like, a crazy guy. Everyone needs, like, a little something to take the edge off, whether it's beer, pot, cocaine, whatever. So because Facebook was stressful, I took a little bit of this Lexapro, common, normal thing. It's like small dosages. It's supposed to take the edge off. So anyway, on that, went to Dublin. I heard, I've never been out of the country. Maybe I'll drink a little bit. Somebody said, if you cut back, you could drink a little bit. So I cut back, drank a little bit. Things were good. And then I went to Montreal straight from there. And I got sick, really sick, but I was feeling good. But I got sick probably from stopping the meds. That's the thing. I cut down, and my body, like, reacted to it. But my shows were great. I was wide open. I'm going, hey, I feel great. I'm happy. But I was just talking. And then when I came back, people go, Brody, you're not acting yourself. I go, I'm happy. And they were telling me, take a victory lap. Have fun. Because I was reserved. I'm very – remember, I hadn't had any problems before. And I haven't had any problems since. And the problems I do have are usually audience warm-up related. You don't see me getting road rage. You don't see me getting fights at the comedy store. You don't see me getting fights on a podcast. You saw it with audience warm-up. You saw with me having a show about me, having these guys who didn't play baseball. Maybe they're not blue-collar. And I'm trying to push, and there is just kind of like some – I mean, I can go into it. But I made a mistake, I'll say that, maybe by going off, taking the med down, I was just a little more sensitive, and it was just a combination of maybe the travel, me doing stuff. And it wasn't, it was just pushing. And I go, F it, you're going to push me, I'm going to push back. So there's just a lot of that energy, and I feel like I learned my lesson. But I talked
about... Are you happy, though? You look happy.
Am I happy?
You know, back then, off the meds?
Yeah, I mean, believe me, being off, I was open-minded. I was like, but I could really get into it, you know, think of getting my mind wandering. And it was kind of like, I mean, now I know how to handle myself now. Like if I take a lot of caffeine or if I cut back, I go, okay, I know I'm cutting back or I know I'm high. You know, like I'm more aware. I learned. It's like, don't touch the hot stove. I kind of touched it, but I also touched it not knowing. It wasn't like, I made some, I mean, I got sick. I got sick in Montreal, and he said I had strep throat, and he gave me an antibiotic. And my mind was just, like, clear. I mean, I was clear. But maybe that took time for me to get adjusted, but my friends saw, I go, hey, you're not acting yourself. I go, yeah, I am. I'm doing great. Well, you're not acting yourself. And then they started like, are you okay? And I go, yeah, I'm okay. Well, you don't think you're okay. And I go, leave me the F alone, man. I mean, don't you get it? And then it kind of like spiraled. But once they started, you know, poking at me, I kind of poked back kind of thing. And then I put stuff on Twitter, you know, like F
Periscope.
This guy. This was before Periscope. Oh. But I did a video. Yeah, I did a video. But you know what? It was just a learning experience, maybe getting out of my system. But I think it was a combination. And I'm not blaming anybody. Ultimately, it's me. And I did learn from it. And maybe others can learn from it. Like, can't stop meds cold turkey. It doesn't mean you had a breakdown. It's just like somebody like doing a ton of coke and getting to, that's the way I look at it. It was just a big shock to my system. So I didn't really take it personal. Like, oh, I can't handle pressure. You know, you try to do warm up. You try to, but I can handle pressure. But I feel like this was a little, I like doing Periscope. I like doing stand up because I kind of like do my own thing when I'm better that way. I feel like when I'm trying to, you know, like I wasn't trying to impress anybody there. I don't know. It's such a long time ago, to be honest with you. It's like I kind of moved on from it, but I'm glad I went through it. But it makes me appreciate doing stand up more. I don't want to do. You know, when you work with others, sometimes it's like you get into that group think. You start doing things you wouldn't normally do to like kind of go with. You're influenced by your friends. I'll do that. It's like I'm out of my comfort zone a little bit. Whereas I do my Periscope or do your podcast, it's like you feel better. It's you. You're not under crazy stress, hopefully. And then people see you and you're not that stress isn't bad, but they see comedy. They see you in a good mood. And I like doing it. So does it pay my bills? I don't know. You know, it's all, I'm all learning, but it's a crazy world now. You know, it's, it's always changing. And you know, I'm older, and then you feel like the business is changing, the world's changing,
yeah.
The business is changing, the Dodgers are in the World Series, all this stuff.
Game 7, baby.
Yeah, man.
I have nobody, in terms of blame, I'm not a blame. I always put it back on myself, sometimes too much, but I also feel like I just need to light a fire. And part of this is doing these podcasts, getting in here. I need structure. I'm that baseball guy. If you, like, leave me alone, I'll procrastinate. If I have structure, 162 games, spring training, repetition, 3,000 warm-ups, spots at the Comedy Store, I can kind of do that. And that's why I need a podcast. And it all comes around. You put it out there. I believe in that up to this point. It's gotten me, you know, my name out there. I don't have a house, child, girlfriend, or dog, or Prius. I don't have that. But yeah. I have, in terms of, like, I know how comedians treat me. I know how, like, I like it, meaning like it feels good. Like,
yeah,
I know what feels good and what doesn't feel good. And if it didn't feel good, I wouldn't be around. So I enjoy comedy, and thanks for having me.
You have days coming up?
Tonight I'll be at the Comedy Store. I might be doing Paris, France. I got to check back. I got to ask to do something. So have you been to Paris?
Never.
I've not been. So I don't know. I'm going to find out. I'm doing a podcast also on All Things Comedy. It's kind of a.
What is my friend still on?
That's on another network. I need to do that. Thank you for that. That's long.
You're in the top 200. I see your name.
I am?
Up. Yeah.
I got to follow
every
up
once
on
in
this
a while.
Stuff.
Because people
do it enough.
Because people find out about you, and then they go search you out, and then they go through all the episodes.
Yeah.
And then they start asking, where's the next one? But it's always up, right?
That's top all 2000. They do.
You're in the top 200 on iTunes,
I need to do
which
more.
Is amazing because there's a shitload of podcasts. To be in the top 200 is good.
No, thank you. You know, I just feel like
we need this. Steve Brody, my friend, T-shirts.
I do. You know where that is? Me friend. It comes from like when I was a waiter in New York City. I had two busboys, Mr. Lee, who was like a 70-year-old Chinese guy, and Tony, who was Albanian. And Mr. Lee would always go, "Brody, you good guy, you me friend." So it's always like an homage. Same thing with like enjoy it. When I was in Tempe, Arizona, this was 1988. My freshman year, I would go. I was like kind of homesick, and on Sundays I'd get the LA Times and go to McDonald's in Tempe, and the lady working at the McDonald's was just high like positive energy. She was just like a happy Caucasian lady, and I would order my Big Mac. I'll take a number one combo, and then she would slide the the tray over, and she'd go, "Enjoy," and she was so excited about it. So then I would start saying around the baseball team, enjoy. And then, you know, the baseball guys pick up on it. That's where I learned a lot about, like, wording and support of, like, when you're a teammate, you got to be like, let's go, Rodrigo. Need you, buddy. Big R, pushing. You make it fun. And I just saw, like, the benefits of that. So trying to harness it and, you know, especially and everyone's so negative. And I've shown that. I just saw it through the warm-up. When I was negative energy or no energy, lights would go out or teleprompter wouldn't work. You could, you know, people are afraid to, like, I would always say, like, you got to take that, the milk, and pour it into the grape nuts. You can't, like, half it. You got to, like, go for it. And that's how I would do my warm-up. And a lot of it's just feedback. You do stuff you like, okay, and then you get a comedian. Oh, Brody, I like when you do that. And they go, okay, like the Valley stuff.
How do you know what to say when somebody answers something? I'm always being afraid, like, talking to the audience. Like, they tell you, whoa, what high school you go to? I went to Salesian High School.
I just throw it out there. I'm just lucky. I mean, I think I have a home city advantage here
in
LA.
You know who's good at this too? Jim Brogan, bro.
Oh, yeah, the famous guy, Jimmy Brogan. Yeah, the Laugh Factory.
Good, man.
He was Jay Leno's guy.
Little notepad in his, you know, like, in his shirt.
And my wife would watch you, and she said, you know, like, every high school coach.
Well, I think a lot of that was, you know, playing baseball at Reseda. We would just study. I played high school sports, so I knew every,
well, that's right,
you know, pretty much. Where'd you go to high school? Which
Roosevelt
one?
High School.
Okay, Roosevelt. Yeah, they're red and, I've told you that. They have, like, a red and,
yeah,
scarlet. They would come to the Best Damn Sports Show, Roosevelt. So I got every high school. But we would just study,
that's
high,
right,
schools.
You were the Best Damn Sports Show. It was a good show at the time, which started all the sports shows.
Yeah, it was.
Best Damn Sports Show was the show that started every ESPN, Fox sports show, right?
Kind of that right? Zany. Because
they started being cool. And reporters started dressing up now. Before, back then, reporters never dressed up.
Comedy, yeah, it was sports and comedy. Yeah. And I loved it because I got to meet so many athletes. And so I go, oh, I get to hang out.
John Sally, right?
John Sally. John Kruk, Chris Rose, Rodney Pete, Michael Irvin, Michael Strahan. We started Stephen A. Smith, Mike Goldberg from UFC. Just a ton, George Lopez, Steve Harvey.
Roseanne's husband. He was the main guy.
Yeah.
Right?
And
Tom,
that's
Arnold.
Where, you know, I was just lucky. I got to learn about, yeah, that energy. And I got to meet all these baseball players. And we had fun with the show. And
it looked like fun, huh, dog?
Hell yeah.
But now people talk about it. They remember it fondly, whereas back in the day, it was like, oh, I can't find it. When's it on? It's on DirecTV. Now it's like people, because it's hard to replicate that stuff. I don't know. Maybe they're not that good. I don't know.
It was like a lot more off-the-cuff opinions and stuff when that came on. Not scripted.
Yeah, say what
you
want.
Sure, they had their format. But.
And, yeah, Tom was pushing it. The jokes were, you know, we pushed it. It was just zany, goofy. And then these other shows started talking about it. And
a lot of copycats came after that.
Hell yeah. Seems like everybody's format after that now.
But I just love, yeah, they all are.
Even with the Rick Bayless show, all those shows.
Oh,
same,
yeah.
Huh?
I just love coming in. Like, I look, I go, ooh, who's going to be here? Oh, this guy, this girl. Okay, I get to take a photo with him for cool. And So whenever it was like, I normally take a photo, but it was like a big time guy. I'd have John Sally get it. Like, John Sally would always take it for me. And these guys are good. Like, Tom Arnold, every day, brought energy. John Sally, every day, nice guy, really was. Chris Rose, the host, professional. Just, you know, you saw it, and it was just fun working. And, you know, I took that same energy. I went to Chelsea lately. I took out the sports and just honed that and took care of the comedians on there. And same thing when I went to At Midnight, which just wrapped up. I did that the first 2 years. It's cutting through that fake audiences, you know, like the fake clapping or – people being timid or these VIPs acting too cool. Because I've been up there. I've been up on a show, like, you say something funny, the audience is not, you're not feeling it. When I do warm-up, like I said, I can close my eyes and go, we're good, let's do this. And that's what I did to take care of the comedians. So, again, I listen. I don't, you know, they say, oh, I like when you do that Valley stuff, or I like when you do that. Okay, good, I'll keep doing that. So you just, it's putting your reps in. People look, what's the shortcut? I mean, I think it's reps, stage time, and jokes. That's my thing. Stage, jokes, stage time, and then, right?
There it is, people out there who are wondering how to do this. Stage time, stage time, and jokes.
Isn't that right, Brody Stevens?
I think so, yeah.
What's up, Fool? So your podcast, when is it?
Oh, yeah. Well, I've done about 12 podcasts for we're going to start launching them here very soon. It's a sports. It's a lifestyle.
Nice.
It's if you're 47, you rent an apartment in the Valley, you're a Caucasian male, that I'm your target podcast. You want to listen to mine.
Yeah,
it's your demographic, huh?
It's my demographic. So I've been doing that, and, yeah, you can see me at the Comedy Store a couple times a week, do the Laugh Factory down in Long Beach, and hopefully doing some more, you know, independent shows around town. Yeah, I like what you're doing, going out there. I'd like to get out on the road, maybe give me some of those Air Force bases.
Yeah, it'd be fun, man. What's up, Fool Podcast? With Rodrigo Torres right here.
You got it.
Yeah, man.
And our super guest all the way from the Valley, Dodger fan. We found out a lot about him, man. I'm
hell
glad
yeah
to know that he played baseball. Never knew that.
Rashida.
I wonder why he stays in shape. Everybody else gets fat.
I stretch. Apple cider vinegar. I'm telling you. I don't know what it is, but I'm 200 pounds.
Thank
you
very much. Stephen Brody, apple cider.
Yes, vinegar.
Yeah, man. This little dog.